This morning we're going to talk for a short time on the subject of the purpose of the church. I believe the Apostle Paul relates to our minds what exactly the purpose of the church is. I don't know if you've ever thought why the church exists or why is the church here today. But Paul tells us that there is a reason for it, why it is here, why it exists, and what the purpose of it is. We read in the text in Ephesians the 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 12, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." This is, beyond any subject that I have ever studied, the most in depth. It is the one which would show to me that the least that I know, or how little I know in the Lord. It is a tremendous subject that is spoken to us on the subject of the church itself, and why God brought this magnificent organization known as the church into existence. Why it is here today? What is the purpose of it? Now, in order to understand the purpose, we're not talking about the work of the church. We could say, well, the church exists to save souls, and well, it does. We can say, well, the church exists to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and well, it does. We can say that the church exists so that we can have worship with God, and well, it does. But these are things that are the works of the church, and the things that the church does, and the things that God does through the church. But why is the church here in the first place? What is the purpose of it? According to what Paul tells us here, the purpose of the church is for the church to show forth the manifold wisdom of God. That is the purpose of it. That's why the church is here today, to show forth the manifold wisdom of God. What is that manifold wisdom, and what is this subject that Paul is speaking about? What is he talking of when he speaks of this mystery? The word mystery means something that is a secret, something that is not yet known. God, who had this secret, this mystery, and it is a word which means to us that we will come to know it when God is ready for us to know it, on his terms, and how he will display or reveal the mystery. In other words, it's not a mystery that man can understand. It was a mystery that even the angels of heaven could not understand fully until God revealed it. So in other words, no matter how hard man would seek to understand this mystery Paul speaks of, no matter how hard he studied to know what it might be, he could not know it until the time God revealed it. The mystery was revealed in the church. And the church is here for the purpose of showing forth the manifold wisdom of God. Before we continue this morning, we have the opportunity of going to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. So please humble yourselves as one selected leads us in that prayer. Our subject today is one that, as we look through the Bible, we'll see that it extends from eternity all the way through to eternity. In other words, as eternity has no end, this subject is the same. The Bible is teaching us here that there is a mystery that has been found to exist in Jesus Christ. It is a mystery which was not known to man, and that's what the word mystery means. It means that it was a secret. If we look through our text this morning, we see some words that bring to our attention the idea of what Paul is speaking of. In the 8th verse, he talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The word unsearchable means past our finding out, past and beyond. In other words, there are so many riches in Christ that are given to us that it is going to be beyond our capability or beyond us being able to truly fathom all of them. He talks about a fellowship of the mystery. In other words, fellowship means, if you were to try to describe it, you might look at it as the same fellows on the same ship. In other words, people all steering and going in the same direction. And he talks about the fellowship of the mystery. In other words, this mystery brings about something that we come to realize is that there is a fellowship that will exist within it. He then brings out the words, the manifold wisdom of God. The word manifold means diverse. So in many different ways, God's wisdom is shown and displayed. He says that it is according to the eternal purpose. In other words, God's purpose was not something that was haphazard. The church was not something that was an afterthought. It was not something that was simply all of a sudden one day a good idea. The church is an eternal purpose. It doesn't mean that the church exists for just a short time. It doesn't mean that the church is here and that's all that we'll see of the church. It means that the church is eternal and the purpose that exists in the church itself is also eternal. He then talks about that it was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this eternal purpose, if we want to know what it is, if we want to know where it is, then we need to look in Christ Jesus because that is where we are going to find it. And we have access into this, he says in the 12th verse, with confidence by faith of him. In other words, by our faith, we have access into this eternal purpose. So let's look at it from this fashion. Back over here in eternity, we're going to look at the time before the foundation of the world. In other words, there was a time before the world was ever formed that the Bible tells us about. In other words, God existed for always. The world isn't when God came into existence. The world is when God brought the world or the earth into existence. So there was a time before the world was ever formed. When you look at the word foundation, it would mean to us the very thought of the world itself. The very thing that God thought about bringing into existence. So before that thought was even there, back before the foundation of the world. Then, of course, we have the time in which the world was brought into existence, or the earth, and where man was created over here on the earth. So we see that there was a time before the world began, according to what Colossians 1:25-27 tells us, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the mystery that he speaks of was a mystery that is going to be purposed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's where the mystery that we can look for is. And that's where its fulfillment we will find. It hath been hid, notice he says here, from ages and from generations. So he is speaking of a mystery that runs here throughout the span from eternity to eternity. He says it was withheld or it was not known by people until a time that God deemed it necessary, until the time that God deemed it the time to make this mystery known. So it didn't matter how much man wanted to know it. It didn't matter how much the angels themselves wanted to know it. They could not know it until God revealed it. And God chose a time to reveal it. But what he chose to reveal was not something that was an afterthought after the world was created. It's something that he thought of before the foundation of the world ever was. Can we see how important the church is? The church reveals this wisdom. Can you see the purpose and the importance of the church and what the Bible is telling us here? How magnificent, how wonderful the ways of God truly are. In Matthew 13:17, Jesus says, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Jesus says that there was the dispensations of time, that there was the patriarchal time in which the fathers ruled the family. Then there was the time which was the Mosaical law, which was the time of the old law in which man was under. He says, under these two times of dispensation, they desired to see what the next dispensation was going to be, which was going to be the Christian dispensation, but yet they could not see it. Jesus says that they were desiring to look within it. They desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. These people are all judged by what they lived under at the time, by whatever rule it was. The fathers under the laws of morality and goodness, the Mosaical law, the Israelites under the old law, but the people who were not Israelites were still under this law, which was that of morality and goodness. We're going to be judged under the Christian era. Think how much more our judgment is going to be because we know the mystery. We know it. It's been given to us. They didn't know it. They looked for it, but could not see it. But you and me know it, and we're part of it. In 1 Peter 1:10 through 12, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Well, back over here in the Old Testament time, there were people who were prophets. Peter said they desired to see that. They prophesied about that, but still did not know all about it. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Who was the first creature? The first creature that God created? According to Colossians 1, and 15, it was Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn of every creature. Then, of course, we would know that God had to have created the angels that exist. Peter says they desired to see this. The prophets desired to see this, but could not see it until God revealed it. And once it was revealed, it revealed the wisdom of God. Romans 16 and 25 says, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Notice what he tells the Romans here. The preaching of Jesus Christ, which was according to the revelation of the mystery, the revealing of the mystery revealed who Jesus Christ is, the only begotten Son of God. This revelation of this mystery was, he says, before the world began. So the church is not an afterthought. The church wasn't something that God just one day dreamed up. It wasn't just a thought that all of a sudden one day God would make the church. It was something that he planned when Jesus, before this world existed. That's perhaps very hard for us to understand. It's a time that goes back before us. But how much does the Bible tell us that his ways are past finding out? His wisdom so much greater than our wisdom. So we look into these things that God gives us a peek into. Mark 4 and 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without all these things are done in parables. Jesus said to his disciples, it's given to you to know the mystery, to see the fulfillment of this mystery. But to them that he's preaching to, he says, to all these people, he says, he has to talk in parables to get them to see something that they haven't yet seen. It's like the old story Brother Edison told many times about the old farmer that goes to a town and he'd never been to a city before. And he comes back from visiting the city and the children gather around. They want to know, what's a city like? Well, how does he describe something to them that they have never seen? So he goes out and he shows them the silos and he says, well, you see these silos? They have buildings that people live in there that are taller than these silos. So you see, that's why Jesus taught to the people in parables. He tried to give them something that they could relate to, something that they could understand about a mystery that was going to be revealed that they didn't know about yet. They didn't know about the kingdom and how the kingdom would be in him. They didn't know about the church and how the church would be his body. So he had to, in parables, talk to them. Back here, before the foundation of the world, according to Matthew 13 and 35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. This mystery was kept secret from over here by God, not to be revealed until it would come here in Jesus Christ, and then that would be the church. That's what the mystery would be revealed, or how it would be revealed. Matthew 25 and 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus is talking about a time over here that deals with judgment. And he says that during that time of judgment, he will separate the goats from the sheep. The goats will be on his left hand and the sheep will be on his right hand. He will say to the sheep on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever in existence. He says over in John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is praying for these apostles and disciples here. He's asking God that where he is going, where he is going to be, that they also would be able to join him there, that they could see the glory of that and the love that God had for him before the foundation of the world. So in other words, Jesus came into this world here, you see. He came in at a time designated by God. They see him as a man. They know him as Jesus. Peter proclaims him as being the Christ. Jesus says, I want him to see beyond this veil of flesh and blood. And I want them to see where I am going, which is up here to God, to his right hand, he says. I want them to see that so they can see the glory that I had back over here before I came to this world. That's what he's telling them here. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, when he talks about the Christians, which is what he's talking about here, being chosen, he's not talking about individuals being picked out and selected as being the ones that would be saved. But he says that before the foundation of the world ever existed, the thought of the church was there. The chosen would be those who came into the church. Who was the chosen in the Old Testament? The chosen in the Old Testament were the Jews. They were a chosen nation. Why were they chosen? Because their father Abraham was a man of faith. So he chose them that he would bring forth a mighty nation, and in that nation, they would be his chosen people. Here Paul says that those who were chosen before the foundation of the world are those who would come into Jesus Christ for salvation, whoever they might be. 1 Peter 1 and 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. When Jesus came and walked on this earth, they didn't know who he was. Satan didn't know who he was. Remember, he tempted him. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from this temple. If you be the Son of God, you worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. The angels, others, did not realize the full impact of who he was and what he was here to do. It was a mystery till the time of its fulfillment. But it was foreordained, it was planned before the foundation of the world and was revealed, Peter says, in these last times for you. In other words, we get to see the revealing of this mystery. I've heard people say they'd like to live in many different phases of time in this world. And I know people are looking for a quieter time, a more simpler time, a time when things were not so bad. But yet, would you want to live in a time that you would not know the church? Would you want to live in a time that you would not see this mystery fulfilled? You're living in the best time that there is. You're living in a time in which you can see by the Word of God, the mystery of God has been fulfilled in His Son, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, this mystery was promised. It was promised that the church would come, Genesis 22 and 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Okay, He promised something back here to Abraham before the law. What He promised to him was He would be the father of many nations. That promise was fulfilled over here in the church. That's where it became fulfilled at. Now, if you look at Abraham, Abraham was chosen as the father of many nations because of his faith. If you look at the Jews who were his offspring, the reason for the Israelite nation. I want you to think of this for a moment. What is the reason God chose the Jews? What is the reason God chose the offspring of Abraham? Say, well, it was by Abraham's faith. True. Abraham was the start of this nation. He was the start of these people. What was their purpose? Well, they showed the worship of God. God gave them the law. True. But was that their mighty purpose? No. The purpose of the Jews was to bring birth to Jesus Christ. He was going to come from the seed of Abraham, you see, which meant that he had to be a Jew, so he come from this seed. And to bring Jesus into this world, God chose Abraham and this nation of people so that Jesus could be brought into this world. That's their purpose. Oh, they did many things. They had many things that God asked them to do, but the main purpose of them was to bring Jesus into this world, so that He would come of the seed of Abraham, from the seed of David, and He would be born as prophecy so fulfilled. In Hebrews 11 and 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay, these people over here, they saw the promises afar off, but they didn't experience them. They looked for them afar off, but they didn't understand them. It was a mystery. But there would come a time when all this mystery would be revealed. Galatians 3 and 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Okay. So, the promise was fulfilled where? In the church. How? Because Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1 and 18, is the body. The church is His body. And if we have been baptized, according to Galatians 3 and 27, into Jesus, that is, into His body, then we have put Him on. If we are in His body, and from His lineage, He is of the seed of Abraham, then that makes us also of the seed of Abraham. And if we have been adopted into this family and we are the seed of Abraham, then we too will receive the promises. So those promises were fulfilled in the church as well. The church also was prophesied of. Isaiah the second chapter, verses 1 and 2. "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." So, not only was the church promised, but the church was prophesied of that it would come, that all nations would flow unto it. What did Jesus tell His apostles in the Great Commission? "Go ye into all the world, preach to all the creatures." Isn't that what He said? That means all men. So all nations then could flow unto this house that God is going to build, that was prophesied of. Acts 2 and 16 says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Yes, He said it was prophesied that in the last days. Now, both these prophecies that we read say last days. Well, it is the last days because it's the last dispensation. There was the dispensation of the patriarchal. There was the dispensation of the mosaical. There is one last dispensation, and that is the Christian. There's not going to be another dispensation. That's the last one. It puts us in the last days. In the last days, this is going to be established. And it was. It was prophesied and it was spoken of by Peter in Acts, the second chapter here, that it was the last days that was prophesied of Joel, and that's the time that has come. So we see that in these different dispensations, the church is shown forth. In the patriarchal, Hebrews 7 and 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. See, Abraham was a patriarch, and the patriarch era of time simply meant that the leader of the family is the one who ruled the family. They were the ones who were the head of it. Then there was the Mosaical Law, Exodus 24 and 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. So then there came the Mosaical Law, which only pertained to the Jews. They lived under that system. The rest of the world still lived under the patriarchal system. Then we come to the Christian dispensation, Galatians 3 and 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So what was the law? A schoolmaster. To do what? To bring the Jews unto Christ. But once they've come, once this has happened, there's no more need, he says, for the schoolmaster. The law is done away with. According to Colossians 2 and 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So Jesus ended that dispensation of time when he was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. When he ended that dispensation of time, which was this one here, he started the new and the last dispensation of time, which is the Christian time. It was in this dispensation that we see the church being built. It's in this dispensation that we see the purpose of the church, which is to show forth the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 1 and 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The church brought together the existence of heaven and earth. It's what he says this mystery was. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. Whose will? God's will. Back over here before the world was ever formed, he had this mystery. He had this thought of bringing the church into existence, and the purpose of it would be to show forth his great wisdom. The patriarchs pointed towards it. The Mosaical system pointed towards it. But it became fulfilled during the dispensation of the Christian time when Christ died on the cross. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, all these times became fulfilled. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 17, I came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill. He didn't come to destroy those things they had said and had done. He came to fulfill them. The fulfillment of them brought in, of course, the church, which shows forth what again? The manifold wisdom of God. Brought together what? All things in heaven and things that are in earth. All these angels that desired to look into what was God's plan, what was this mystery, now saw it all come to pass, all come to be fulfilled here. In this event of Jesus coming to this earth and dying on the cross of Calvary and establishing the church. In AD 33, the church was formed. And we read of it in Acts, the second chapter, where all the apostles were get together, and a rushing mighty wind came in upon them, and cloven tongues stood over them, and then they began to speak in different tongues and languages. And they began to prophesy, and they began to preach unto the people. And we see the establishment and the fulfillment of this mystery that no one knew of but God and Jesus until the time that it was fulfilled. Now you and I are living in that time. We know the fulfillment of it because the church is here. Now, we are to do exactly what the church is supposed to do, and that is to show forth the manifold wisdom of God. An organization that is built by God, that shows forth His love, His care, and the church exists so that we can have fellowship with God. Jesus said to sanctify them by thy word is truth. We are a sanctified people, which sanctified means separated to God. We are a people separated to God by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, who took our sins away. That shows the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The princes of this world did not know it, but yet it was there. The angels did not know it, but desired to see it because they knew it would be the work of God, and they wanted to look in upon it. He says in the 10th verse of our text, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. That is, the principalities and powers that are in heavenly places will realize by the church the wisdom of God and what He done to bring Jesus into this world, His only begotten Son, that mankind might be saved. In Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17 through 24. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul here says that his mission was to go and to preach the gospel. They had an argument going on at Corinth that people felt that they were more special than other people, depending on who baptized who. Paul says that wasn't the idea of this, nor was that the mission. Now, naturally, Paul was sent to baptize people, but he's saying here that it was not so that people would be separated by thinking, I was baptized by somebody better than you, and that makes me a better Christian or a better person. He's ashamed of them for having such an idea and such a thought. He goes on to tell them here that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, to those who will not believe it, it becomes foolishness. He says, but unto those of us who are saved, we see it as the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So here in Jesus Christ, we not only see the power of God in Him, God sent Him to this earth. He had a plan that He'd come to this earth. He had a plan that He would be born of the seed of Abraham. He had a plan that He would be born of the seed of David. And so He did. He brought Him into this world. Jesus was taken out there to Calvary and He was crucified. And 3 days later, God brought Him up out of that grave. He joined that soul back to that body and brought Him out of that tomb. And so that the people that went there found an empty tomb. So by the power of God, He brought this about. And in it, we see the wisdom of God, His wisdom, not the worldly wisdom, but His wisdom, a plan made and thought of before the foundation of the world. That the purpose of the church is to show forth the manifold wisdom of God that exists in Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, if we have spoken something today that has got you thinking about your eternal salvation, please give it some good thought. We live in the best time there is because the mystery has been revealed. The mystery is that God would send His Son to this earth, establish the church wherein man could be saved and could come into the body of Jesus Christ and become a part of the family of God and be saved from this old world. The way to come into the body of Christ is very simple. It's the way that Jesus himself teaches to us, as he says in Matthew 7:24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Jesus says in John 8:24, "I tell you not, I say that if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." So Jesus says, hear. Hear what? Hear the words that he speaks. If we do them, we'll be a wise man. This word says we must believe in him. If we believe not that he's the Son of God, we'll die in our sins. Jesus says in Luke 13:3, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we have a change of mind, realizing that we're living a life of sin, and we need to turn away from that life and turn towards Jesus who gave his self for us. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, that if we confess him before man, he will confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. So if we confess him here, he will confess us there where he is at. And then Jesus says in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And as we read in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So today, friends, that's the way we become saved. And that's the way you become a member of his church, his body. The Bible says that those who did this in Acts, the second chapter, that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. It's not what I'm telling you to do. It's not what God, it's not what other people are telling you to do. It's what God and Jesus is telling you to do that's important. They're telling you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation according to what the Scriptures teach us. There being one this morning, won't you come? Always stand and sing.